You know Leviticus chapter 16. We're working on the subject of God's Day of Atonement. And really, we're just giving some introductory things about this chapter. Lord willing, next week, next Lord's Day, we'll get into it more verse by verse. As we look this morning, there is a connection that needs to be understood. That is, these instructions that God gave to Moses to give to Aaron. It was after something awesome had happened. You notice again, chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, the Lord Jehovah, that is, Jehovah spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they had offered before the Lord, and they died. They offered incense, and they offered on what God called strange fire. In God's statutes to Israel, they were never to offer strange incense or strange fire. No strange incense, just that which God approved of. That speaks of the merits of our Lord Jesus and His intercessory work, and then no strange fire. It's got to be God's fire. The Lord had ignited that offering on the brazen altar. That fire came from God. The Bible says our God is a consuming fire. And that bright Shekinah glory, it shined down. The people had seen the glory of the Lord. We saw that this morning back in Leviticus at the end of chapter 9. And they shouted and they bowed to the Lord, this glorious God. And then that very fire of God, God's fire, it absolutely burned up the offering that was on the brazen altar. But these men, they brought unusual fire, different fire. God called it strange fire. And then on that fire, they burned incense. God wouldn't have anything to do with it. And they died. In fact, if we have the time to go back, Moses, he called two men forth. He said, you just take these men right out of the camp. And everybody was a witness. This wasn't done in secret. It wasn't a private matter. It wasn't Moses that went to Nadab and Abihu and pulled them over to the side and said, now you men have made an awful mistake. No, this is not Moses dealing with them. This is God dealing with them. And God struck them dead right there on the spot. And that says to us that if you endeavor to do anything for God, to worship God, to have access to God, to draw near to God, to call upon the name of the Lord, if you do anything of a religious or a so-called spiritual nature without looking to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not be accepted. And if you persist in that, God will kill you. God will kill you. Everything that we do, every song that we sing, every time we read the scriptures, every time we call on God in prayer, every time we give our offering, Every time we're in attendance here, everything that we do is to be always with an eye on the blood shedding of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not focused on the Lord Jesus, if you've not focused your heart's attention upon His sacrifice that satisfied divine justice, then nothing you do will be accepted by God. Everything's got to go through Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the connection. In fact, the Lord said in the second verse, He said to Moses, "Now you speak to Aaron your brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat which is upon the ark, that he die not." You say, "Boy, this sure is this severe penalty, isn't it?" Death is severe. Because death is God's punishment on account of sin. The soul that sinneth shall die. And Moses told his brother Aaron, now you remember what happened to Nadab and Abihu. If you don't want to die, you better do things God's way. And I'll tell you, if you don't want to die, if you don't want to perish, if you don't want to be separated from God for eternity, you better do things God's way. God's way is a way of life. God's way is a way of righteousness. God's way is a way of salvation. But you do something your way, it's a way of death. Every way of man always ends in death. Only God's way is the way of life. Right after the death of Nadab and Abihu, I don't find that anybody, and I read these chapters between, go back to chapter 10 and then up to chapter 16, I don't find anybody, not even Moses and not even Aaron. I don't find anybody raising the question, well then how can we approach God so as to be accepted? Is there any possibility that we can go to God and be received? If these men died, these men who had the outer dress of a priest, these men who were committed, at least outwardly, to serving Israel and serving the Lord, these men whose father was the high priest, if they died, is it any way that anybody can ever draw near to God and live? Nobody asks that question. And you know what? I can't find many people asking that question today. You see, here's the real issue. Let's just get right down to where the rubber meets the road. The real issue is how can God be just and holy and righteous and justify the ungodly? That's the issue today. And I can't tell you I don't even remember the last time when anybody asked me that question. They've got lots of other questions. Well, preacher, how many angels are there in existence? I don't know. 1,000 times 1,000 times 10,000. What does it matter? Well, preacher, can you tell me what everybody in heaven, what they're going to look like up there, and what they're going to be doing, what they're going to be worshiping the Lord? They've got all kinds of questions. I'll tell you this. Years ago, I wasn't 21, 22 years old, I guess it was. This church asked me to come candidate for them, and I was foolish enough to think that I could do it then. And I went and candidated for them, and they said, well, we've got some questions to ask you. After the service, there'll be a committee that will meet with you. And I said, well, okay. Well, I knew something was wrong when the committee was made up of all women. No offense to you, dear sisters. Well, there was one man there, but his wife did the talking for him. And I got in there and I said, well, what do you want to ask me? And one said, do you think we ought to have a junior choir? And I said, I don't care whether you have a junior choir or not. And another one said, what about robes for the choir? And they started asking questions like that. And I said, ladies, this meeting is over. This meeting is over. People are not right, asking the right questions. I tell you this, the oldest book in the Bible is Job. And in the book of Job, you find this question raised. How can he be clean that's born of a woman? How can a man be just with God? And nobody's asking that question here. Well, let me tell you something. This Day of Atonement, it didn't come about by reason of man's desire. And it didn't come about by reason of man's wisdom. Moses didn't come up with the idea of a Day of Atonement. And Aaron didn't come up with the idea of the Day of Atonement. It's Jehovah who saves. This is the fulfillment of His purpose. Here's what I'm trying to say. It's not man who sought to be reconciled to God or who seeks to be reconciled to God. It's God Himself who is determined to have a people that will glorify His free and sovereign grace. God purposed salvation. He ordained this way, the only way by which He could be a just God and a Savior. Here is salvation. Here is forgiveness. Here is life based on God's law being satisfied by God-appointed, God-approved, innocent victim dying in the stead of the guilty. A guilty person or a guilty victim can't die for a guilty victim. It's got to be an innocent victim dying in the stead of the guilty. I don't find anybody in Israel asking how this can be done. And maybe few of them, I don't know how many, were even interested in how this could be done. If Nadab and Abihu, and they were priests, and they had on the white garments, and they had been participants in chapter 9, in bringing the burnt offering, in bringing the blood to Aaron to sprinkle, dressed in their white robes that God had appointed. They had been consecrated to God back in Leviticus chapter 8. It looks like somebody ought to ask the question, if these men cannot be accepted by God coming the way they did, can anybody be accepted? And if so, how can that be? I'm interested in it, aren't you? I hope you are. Now, this Day of Atonement, it didn't come about by reason of man's desire or man's wisdom. I don't even read that anybody was interested in atonement being made, although I'm sure Moses did, and Aaron did, and Miriam did, and probably a few other believers as well. But I know somebody who was interested, and he's been interested from before the foundation of the world. That's God Almighty. Listen to 2 Samuel 14:14. For we must needs die, and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person Yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. He hath devised the way whereby his loved ones, his children, won't be expelled from him. You see, the Day of Atonement was ordained of God. I love that verse over in the book of Job. Then he is gracious unto him. And God says, deliver him from going down to the pit. I found a ransom. We couldn't find a ransom. We weren't even looking for a ransom. We didn't know a ransom had to be paid. We don't know anything about the justice of God or the law of God. But God devised the way to satisfy his own just demands through the death of a suitable substitute. The Day of Atonement. It speaks to me of the great Day of Atonement. The great Day of Atonement, or the great Day of Reconciliation that happened 2,000 years ago. That's when sinners given to Christ Jesus in the covenant of grace were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. I say this Day of Atonement originated with God. And then I want you to consider this. The date of the Day of Atonement, that was also determined by the Lord. There was a specific date. Look at verse 29, Leviticus chapter 16, verse 29. And this shall be a statute forever unto you. That is, as long as the Aaronic priesthood continued unto Messiah come. This shall be a statute forever unto you. That in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, ye shall afflict your soul, that's humility, and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. On the same day, every year, the seventh month and the tenth day of the month, they were to observe the Day of Atonement. Now, in the Jewish way of in their calendar. You know, God changed their first month. Go back to the book of Exodus. Go back to Exodus chapter 12. He changed their calendar. Go to Exodus chapter number 12. Look at the second verse. This is at Passover, Exodus chapter 12 and the second verse. First verse says, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month of Passover, it shall be unto you the beginning of months. We're going to reset the year now. That's what God said. We're going to reset the year. This is what they call the Israel's ecclesiastical year, or their religious year. God said, we're going to reset the calendar right now. It shall be the first month of the year to you. And we know, look over in chapter 13. We know the name of it. Look at chapter 13. Look at verses 3 and 4. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of the hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day came ye out in the month of Abib. Of Abib. Now Abib, from then on, during the month of Abib, that's when the Passover would take place. The month of Abib corresponds to our month of April. In fact, the word Abib really means when the grain is just being formed. That's really a definition of Abib. When the grain is being formed, it's in the springtime. In the springtime. That's when Passover was. Well, then go 7 months out from that. And on our calendar, it'd be October. That's when God said, you'll have in the seventh month, on the day of the month, you'll have the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement. That first month, that Passover month, God said, we're going to reset the calendar now. This is, you say, why that? Because life begins with the death of the Son of God. That's when it all begins. This is when it all starts. That's where pardon is from. That's where everlasting life is from. It's due to the blood shedding of the Son of God to His death. Let's reset our calendars. Everything begins with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God's telling Israel. Everything begins with His death. By the way, after you get over to the book of Nehemiah and Esther, Abib is then called Nisan. The month of Nisan, but that's the same. But as far as this Day of Atonement, you got to go to the seventh month, which is Ethanim. It's like Ethan and add I am. That's the seventh month. And I'll go into that in a little bit. God says on this day, this specific day, you'll have the Day of Atonement. It wasn't left for Moses to choose the day. It wasn't left for Aaron. It wasn't the elders of Israel. They didn't put this to a vote through the nation of Israel because they didn't have a democracy. They had a theocracy. God set the day. He said, same time every year, same day every year till Messiah comes. The seventh month, the tenth day of the month. This is all up to God's timing. Even so, the great Day of Atonement, the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, when He reconciled His people unto God, when He redeemed His sheep from the curse of the law, that day was not determined by man either. It wasn't up to man when Christ would die. In fact, if it had been left up to the Jews according to their wishes, they didn't want Him to die at Passover time, did they? You read in Matthew chapter 26. Oh, they conspired to kill Him, but they said, but not at Passover, because we fear the people. He's got such a big following. They didn't want Him to die at Passover when thousands and thousands upon thousands of people were in Jerusalem. Not at the Passover. It'll be at the Passover. Notwithstanding what they wanted. Because you see, God's Passover lamb is going to die when He says it's going to die. Dies on His schedule. The Lord had determined when His Son would die at Passover. Christ would die so that the very truth of the gospel might answer to the typology. That the substance might answer to the shadow. God chose the location, God chose the manner, God chose the method, God chose the very timing of the Savior's death. He chose the Redeemer before the world began. Behold mine elect, God said. God first chose Jesus Christ to be our Savior, and then He chose us in Him before the world began. He chose who would betray Him. He determined everything about the death of the Son of God, even who would drive the spikes in His hands and His feet, who would put the crown of thorns upon His brow, that He would stand before Pontius Pilate and that he would stand before King Herod. God determined all of that. God chose everything about it. He died right on schedule. Right on schedule. When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. In due time, when our debt came due, that's when he paid it. This is a time marked out in old eternity. The Son of God talked frequently about that hour. That hour. He said in Matthew 26:45, "The hour is at hand that the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." In John 8:20, these words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him. Why not? His hour was not yet come. John 12:23 and 27, Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." He said, "Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this reason I came to this hour." This date is ordained of God. And then let me tell you this, there was just one day of atonement. Just one day of atonement. Look at verse 34 of our text. Just one day of atonement, one day a year. Verse 34, chapter 16. "This shall be an everlasting statute unto you, to make an atonement for you, or for the children of Israel, for all their sins." How many times a year? Once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded him. Once a year. This was a law that had to be strictly observed. Go over to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. In this chapter, we see that God gave to Israel 7 annual feasts. They're all set forth in this chapter. I want you to consider what happened in the 7th month. Remember, that's the 7th month, the 10th day of the month. That's the Day of Atonement. Actually, the entire month was special. This is also the month for the Feast of Tabernacles. That's when that was held. And later on, the Feast of the Dedication of Solomon's Temple was held in this month. It's the month of Ethanim, or Ethanim, which has some interesting meanings. The 7th month, it has some interesting meanings. It means, number one, that which is ever flowing. And the reason was because in the 7th month, our October, okay, during the 7th month, the dry riverbeds would be filled by the autumn rains. And the water would flow again. And I tell you, with joy shall we draw water from the wells of salvation that run perpetually. Trace them back to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Trace them back to the great Day of Atonement. This word, ethanim, it also means the month of gifts. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. I tell you something else it means, the month of the fragrance of flowers. There's a blessed fragrance that rose up to our God in the death of His Son. Ephesians chapter 5, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." The sacrifices that Israel brought in the book of Isaiah, God said of them, "There's smoke in my nose." But the sacrifice of His Son, sweet-smelling savor. In other words, it pleased the Father. It satisfied him. It satisfied him. In this, the seventh month, many things happened in Israel. For instance, look at verse 23. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speaking of the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, very first day of the month, you'll have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets. It'll be a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. I tell you a verse that very much relates to this, Psalm 89:15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound, or the joyful sound of the trumpet. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. We have heard the joyful sound. What is it? Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And every time we gather together, we blow the gospel trumpet. You blew the gospel trumpet this morning, didn't you, brother? And I blew the gospel trumpet here. And Brother Traban blew the gospel trumpet up in Almont. And Brother Shepherd down in Jacksonville. And all of God's servants. Brother Parker down in Albany. Blowing the gospel trumpet. What a joyful sound for sinners that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. God says you'll do this every year. Seventh month, first day of the month. Feast of Trumpets. Now look at verse 26. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also on the day of the month, of the seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement. That's the one we're talking about in Leviticus chapter 16. It shall be a holy convocation unto you. Ye shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Ye shall do no work in that same day, for it's a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you, before the Lord your God. There was but one day of atonement ordained of God, and that day was to be observed till Messiah came. One day of atonement because Christ Jesus offered himself unto God. One time is the sacrifice for sin. And that's emphasized so much in the New Testament. Romans chapter 6 and verse 10, for in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Hebrews 7:27, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Hebrews chapter 9 verses 26 through 28. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10, which our brother read a few moments ago. For by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. He died once. He died once and satisfied God's justice. I'll tell you something else about this Day of Atonement. There wasn't to be any work done by anybody else except the high priest. Not even the regular priests. They stood and watched. The rule was no work today for anybody except that man. except the high priest. You're still in chapter 23. I want you to notice how often God said, no work. No work. On these holy days, on these feast days, no work. He kept emphasizing it. Go all the way back to verse 7, 23 verse 7. This is about the Passover. This is the Passover, and then the Feast of Unleavened Bread associated with it. Chapter 23, verse 7. In the first day ye shall have a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. Verse 8. But ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the seventh day is a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. Drop down to verse 21. And ye shall proclaim on the selfsame day, that ye may be a holy conversation, that it may be a holy convocation unto you. Ye shall do no servile work therein. That shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. Look at verse 25. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Look at verse 28. Ye shall do no work in that day. It's a day of atonement. Look at verse 31. Ye shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. Look at verse 35. On the first day shall be, and this is the Feast of Tabernacles, by the way, on the first day shall be a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. Verse 36. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day, you remember in John chapter 7, the eighth day, the great day of the feast, that's when Jesus stood and cried saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. This is the eighth day. The eighth day shall be a holy convocation unto you, and ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It's a solemn assembling. Ye shall do no servile work at all. What's servile work? Well, work like a servant. You couldn't work in your garden. You couldn't go out and pull up weeds. You couldn't do any business. If you owned a business, you couldn't do any work on that. It was a day of rest. A day of rest. And on the Day of Atonement, God said, no work. No work. Somebody else is going to work today. You'll watch. He'll work. And they all watched Aaron as he went about his duties as the high priest on the Day of Atonement. Oh, listen, in this matter of salvation, it's not of works. Watch Christ Jesus do the work. He did it to God's full satisfaction and went home to glory and sat down at the right hand of the Father. And this salvation is not by our works. None whatsoever. And if anybody in Israel got the bright idea, well, I think I'll work a little on this, the Day of Atonement. Here's what happened. Look back at verse 29. This is on the Day of Atonement now. Verse 29. 23:29. Chapter 23, verse 29. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he'll be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in the same day, the same soul, God said, I will destroy from among the people. No manner of work, that's pretty clear. Somebody else is doing the work. Salvation is by grace alone. Not of works. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. Even that's not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. you don't make the difference in salvation. Jesus Christ does. It's not your labors. It's not your work. It's not your blood, sweat, or tears. It's His blood, sweat, and tears. It's His work. The great high priest on the great day of atonement, He settled the issue at the cross. That's when He reconciled His people to God. That's when He justified us. That's when He put away our sins. That's when He brought in everlasting righteousness. And when the Spirit of grace takes the gospel word and quickens our poor dead hearts, when He gives us a new heart of faith, then we'll see Christ Jesus finished the work long, long ago. And I enter into His labors. I reap the rewards of His labors. He did the work. Don't you dare lift a finger to assist God in saving you. He'll damn you for it. He'll do it because He's jealous of His glory. He said, I'm the Lord, that's my name, my glory will I not give to another. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. And you got people who are trying to keep the law and doing the best they can. I listened to a song, country song the other day. I kind of like country singing every once in a while. It's talking about where I come from. We're trying to work our way to heaven, where I come from. Well, that's because you come from this old earth. And that's the belief of the natural man. It's not works. It's not our work. It's His work. His work. And on this Day of Atonement, as we're going to see, as we get into it more fully next Lord's Day, on that day, Aaron, God's appointed high priest, he wasn't elected high priest. He didn't volunteer to be the high priest. God chose him to be the high priest. And our Lord Jesus Christ, He was chosen by God to be our great high priest. Now, He volunteered to do the work that God gave Him. He did it voluntarily. But He did it by Himself. By Himself. And that's what we're trying to say. Christ is all in God's salvation. And you don't enter into it. We just give thanks for Him. And we worship Him. And I know there are works that will follow in the life of a believer. It's got nothing to do with your acceptance before God. Nothing whatsoever. It's His work. We rejoice in Him. Well, let's sing a song.